yes, I did forget the Lord's Prayer. That's what happens when I'm away for a week, and the brain just isn't in gear yet. I was with this last week. I do appreciate the gift of being away, and I heard that my friend Tim Whetstone Espada did a great job last week preaching the Word of God to you, and so that was a test run. We'll have him back someday, but I loved him. He probably told you that I was in a small group of pastors along with him called a Micah group. It's a continuing education thing out of Fuller Seminary down in Pasadena, and based on Micah 6:8, he has shown thee, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of thee, to do justice, to love kindness, to walk humbly with your God. And it's built around those themes. Well, anyway, just in case anybody was wondering, Tim is not a possibility to become our associate pastor. He just recently took a new job with InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. He's a tremendous responsibility. He's in charge of church relations for the InterVarsity throughout the whole country. And that's the first reason he wouldn't take our call. The second reason is he's a Nazarene, and there is no chance on earth he would subscribe to the Westminster Confession of Faith. So, but we are one in Christ, right? So, my covenant group, that's where I was this past week. We gather every year. There's about a dozen of us. There used to be more. Some are in heaven. We are all Presbyterian pastors. We've gathered every year since 1980, when we were all youth pastors. And over the years, as I said, some have gone to heaven, and some have left the ministry. There's about a dozen of us left, and we get together and we play a little bit of golf and tell each other what's going on in our lives and pray for each other, and it's just wonderful fellowship. And so thank you for giving me the gift of being with that group this past week. Turn with me now to Psalm 88. And just a little word of introduction. Scholars have divided the Psalms into various categories. There are Psalms of praise. There are Psalms of thanksgiving. There are wisdom Psalms. There are what are called royal Psalms that celebrate God's anointed king. And of course, at the time they were written, they were talking about King David or King Solomon, but have a prophetic impact. Ultimately, they're about Jesus, King Jesus. There are also Psalms of lament. A psalm of lament is the psalmist pouring out a broken and disillusioned heart before the Lord and crying out to God and wondering where God is with painful honesty. And it's telling that by a pretty significant margin, the Psalms of Lament are the most numerous psalms in the Psalter. about a third, about 50 of the Psalms are Psalms of lament. And this is one of the reasons, among many, many others, that we can trust the Bible. Well, more about that later. But first of all, let me read to you Psalm 88. Oh, one more word of introduction. We're actually given the name of the author. This is the only psalm attributed to him. His name is Heman the Ezrahite. His name is only mentioned in one other place in Scripture. He was a contemporary of King Solomon. We don't know anything about him except his authorship of this psalm. Hear now the word of God. O Lord God of my salvation, I cry out day and night before you. Let my prayer come before you. Incline your ear to my cry. For my soul is full of troubles, and my life draws near to Sheol. I am counted among those who go down to the pit. I am a man who has no strength. Like one set loose among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, like those whom you remember no more, for they are cut off from your hand. You have put me in the depths of the pit, in the regions dark and deep. Your wrath lies heavy upon me, and you overwhelm me with all your waves. You have caused my companions to shun me. You have made me a horror to them. I am shut in so that I cannot escape. My eye grows dim through sorrow. Every day I call upon you, O Lord. I spread out my hands to you. Do you work wonders for the dead? Do the departed rise up to praise you? Is your steadfast love declared in the grave, or your faithfulness in Abaddon? Are your wonders known in the darkness, or your righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? But I, O Lord, cry to you. In the morning my prayer comes before you. O Lord, why do you cast my soul away? Why do you hide your face from me? Afflicted and close to death from my youth up, I suffer your terrors. I am helpless. Your wrath has swept over me. Your dreadful assaults destroy me. They surround me like a flood all day long. They close in on me together. You have caused my beloved and my friend to shun me. My companions have become darkness. The word of the Lord. Would you bow with me? O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I will never forget the look on my son Thomas's face. He was about 3 years old. Correct me if I'm wrong about his age, Sharla. And we were getting out of the car in the garage, and Thomas was getting out of the car. As I said, I think he was about three. And I slammed the door hard with his fingers in the door. They immediately started to swell and turn black and blue. And we took him to the emergency room. And it seemed like the wait was forever, as we waited for a doctor to come look at him. He was in miserable pain, and I tried to console him by saying, you know, Thomas, Daddy has had broken fingers 2. And he rebuked me as only a 3-year-old can. He said, "No, my fingers are broken, not yours." And that pain took up his whole field of vision. But it was more than that. His daddy had caused this pain. But he still stayed close to me. That roughly is what Heman the Ezrahite is doing as he pours out his pain to God. This is the bleakest of all the Psalms. Usually in a Psalm of Lament, in fact, I told you there's 50 of them. In all of the other Psalms of Lament, there is at least a ray of light at the end. There's a glimmer of hope at the end as the psalmist turns his gaze to God. But not Psalm 88. It is dark from beginning to end. Heman, but here's the thing. This is a prayer. Heman is holding on with all of his might to this God who seems to him to be completely absent in his suffering. From where he stands, it appears that, and let me just tick off the list, and this is paraphrased, God has forgotten him. God has cut him off from his care. God has thrown him into the lowest pit, into the darkest depths. God has crushed him and drowned him in his anger. And notice that he says over and over again, God is doing this to him. And that's something that you'll see throughout Scripture, that the authors of Scripture, even in their misery, attribute complete sovereignty to God. God, this is something that you're doing. God drove away his friends. God made him repulsive to his friends. God rejected him. God has hidden his face from him. God has paralyzed him with his terrors. God has robbed him of his closest friends and left him in complete darkness. Now, has God ever looked that way to you or to someone you know, someone you love? But once again, what makes Psalm 88 remarkable is that it is a prayer. The author is praying. He hasn't turned his back on God. He hasn't walked away from God. He's holding on to God with all of his might, and he's pouring out his soul exactly what he feels. I'm reminded, and I know I've shared this with you before, but I'm reminded of a scene in Anne of Green Gables. Any fans of Anne of Green Gables here? My dear wife is a big, big fan of Anne of Green Gables, and so I used to be subjected to it. Yes, I did. I watched it. And Anne, of course, was always filled with, if you know the stories, Anne was always filled with drama. And she was always in the depths of despair. Remember that I am in the depths of despair. And because she's an orphan, she has to go and live with her Aunt Marilla. And Aunt Marilla, played by Colleen Dewhurst, is just a no-nonsense woman. And there's a scene where Anne is feeling very dramatic, and she says to Aunt Marilla, "Oh, Aunt Marilla, aren't you ever in the depths of despair?" And Aunt Marilla wheeled around and looked at her sternly, and she said, "No, I am not. To despair is to turn your back on God." That's what Heman won't do in this terrible burden of discouragement and pain and depression. He's lost, but he won't give up on God. He won't turn his back on God. This is a prayer, an honest prayer. Let's look at some of the verses. "O Lord God of my salvation." That's verse 1. "O Lord God of my salvation." He's not experiencing any of God's salvation, but he still calls God the God of his salvation. Keep hoping, even when there's no reason to hope. It is beyond significant that Heman is still speaking to this God who he thinks has rejected him, and he's still addressing God as God of my salvation. Our words in prayer matter. Hold on to biblical truth and pray it when you don't feel it. Holding on to biblical truth about God and speaking it can feed our souls and keep hope alive. Keep holding on and keep calling to your Heavenly Father. Verses 6 and 7. "You have put me in the depths of the pit. In the regions of dark and deep, your wrath lies heavy upon me, and you overwhelm me with all your waves." Now, this may seem counterintuitive because I just said, pray biblical truth even when you don't feel it. But at the same time, don't be afraid to be honest with God, even if you're theologically wrong. Pour it out. Don't worry about being theologically correct. Listen to me carefully. It's better with God, it's better in prayer to be transparent in doubt than to be theologically correct. Let me repeat that. It's better to be transparent in doubt than it is to be theologically correct in unbelief. Now, surely Heman, he had to go to synagogue school, and he learned his Bible, and he learned that God is filled with mercy, and that God is filled with steadfast love and faithfulness. He learned that as a boy. But the important thing is, Heman is not trying to sugarcoat his experience. He's just saying what's on his mind. And you know what? God loves that. I believe God loves it when we come to him with honesty and transparency and just pour out our hearts. When we do that, what was a barrier between us and God becomes a bridge. Your relationship with God is very similar to every other relationship in your life. It depends on honesty and truthfulness. Verse 4, I am counted among those who go down to the pit. I am a man who has no strength. In other words, I'm as good as dead. I'm like a strong man who has no strength left. The Bible calls death the last enemy. Death is not a good thing. Do not ever believe anyone who ever tells you that it is. But Heman here gives us an example. Death is really, and I'm talking about your death. Yes, it's going to happen. As you well know, although none of us like to think about it, the death rate, last time I checked, was still 100%. With one notable exception. Death is actually a good thing to keep at the forefront of your mind in your prayers, because our mortality and an awareness of our mortality draws us nearer to the one who gave us life. In the Eastern Orthodox tradition, Psalm 88 is one of six psalms that are prescribed for matins, M-A-T-I-N-S. Matins is the traditional name for the earliest hour of prayer each day. So the intent of praying Psalm 88 at the beginning of the day is to keep the reality of death at the forefront of your mind throughout the day. Brothers and sisters, when we forget death, the gospel loses its urgency. When we forget death, the gospel loses its weight, because the gospel tells us that death is defeated and we have a hope beyond death. I read once that the great medieval theologian Thomas Aquinas kept a human skull on the desk in his study as a continual reminder of his own mortality. The cross and resurrection of Jesus were much more, of course, were much more powerful examples of self-sacrifice. On the cross and by his resurrection, Jesus conquered our greatest enemy, death. But remembering and celebrating the gospel against the background of death keeps us thankful, keeps us alert, and reminds us of what really has value. Okay, on to verse 13. But I, O Lord, I cry to you. In the morning, my prayer comes before you. Heman is saying here, Lord, I'm crying out to you, and I'm going to keep crying out to you morning by morning. I'm not giving up. And there's a simple lesson here. Persistence might be the most underrated virtue in prayer. Persistence might be the most underrated power in prayer. Pray when you don't feel like it. That's not quite right. Pray especially when you don't feel like it. Keep praying when you feel like your prayers are bouncing off the ceiling. Keep praying when there's a place in your mind that says no one's listening. No one's ever been more acquainted with darkness than Jesus. We have a Savior who experienced all the darkness of this world. And Jesus taught us that God responds to persistence in prayer. You just heard it a few minutes ago. Jesus told a story about a judge, and he made it clear this judge didn't give a hoot about God or people. In other words, he's a heartless, corrupt judge. He doesn't give a hoot about God. He didn't give a hoot about people. And yet, there was this woman, this older woman, who came to him and appealing for justice. And she kept pestering him and pestering him and pestering him and pestering him. So he said, "All right, I don't care about God, I don't care about you, but I want you to go away, so I'm going to give you justice." Now, the point of that parable is not, in fact, well, it's not that God is anything like that judge. This is a type of story that was actually, this model of story was actually told by rabbis other than Rabbi Jesus. And it's called a how much more story. Jesus is saying, if this jerk, if this cruel, heartless individual, if he will eventually grant justice because of persistence, how much more then will your heavenly Father, who loves you and who is kind and faithful and compassionate and merciful and holds all the power of the universe in his hands and is filled with steadfast love for you, how much more then will God respond to persistence in prayer? I'm blanking on his name. Sorry. England, 19th century. Anyway, famous preacher in England in the 19th century. I'll remember his name after the service this morning. Spurgeon, Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He said, prayer is like ringing a bell in heaven. And we have the end of the rope, and the rope extends all the way up into heaven. And he said, victory in prayer comes for those who grab the rope and pull with all their might and pull relentlessly and keep pulling. Be persistent in prayer. And Heman models that for us. It's hard to persist in prayer when life turns dark. But remember that when he was nailed to a cross, Jesus cried out to God with a prayer very much like Psalm 88. He prayed Psalm 22. And it begins, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest." Let's go back to Psalm 88, finally verse 8. He says, "You have caused my companions to shun me. You have made me a horror to them." Do you see what Heman is doing? He's crying out to God in his own pain. He's also bringing his friends before God. He's praying for his friends. He's thinking about others. My mother suffered depression, and it runs in my family. And my mother always used to say, when you really get depressed, get out of your house and get with your friends. Even if you don't feel like it, be with them. That's what Heman is doing in his heart, even though he feels separated from them. Learn to pray as a friend, especially, and maybe Psalm 88 is a place you've never been, but there are, I'm willing to speculate there are people in this room right now who are, if you're not in Psalm 88, maybe you have been or you're going to be. Learn to pray as a friend for the Hemans of the world. Pray with and for those who think they don't have a friend. Praying Psalm 88 will teach you how to pray empathetically. And who knows? One day it may help you to speak to God when you're in a dark place. I would really like for this sermon to end on an up note, but that would not be faithful to the text. Heman doesn't end on an up note, and neither will I. Psalm 88 is pain and abandonment and darkness from beginning to end. But, okay, maybe a little bit of up note, but two things. Remember that this psalm made it into the Bible. The Holy Spirit provided this psalm for us. The Holy Spirit wanted us to have a prayer when we are in complete darkness, and a prayer that would connect with a broken heart. And also remember this. About 2,000 years ago, on a Sunday morning, while it was still dark, some women walked outside the gates of Jerusalem going to a tomb. They were not carrying as much as a thimble full of hope. They believed God had completely abandoned them and all of their hopes were crushed. They didn't have a thimble full of hope. The only thing they were carrying was aromatic ointments to put on a dead body. Never, 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 never give up hope. Because even Psalm 88 is prayed to the sovereign God of the universe, whose love is faithful and steadfast. Let's pray. Mighty God, we thank you for this darkest of the Psalms. We thank you for Heman and his honesty, and we thank you that by your Holy Spirit, you put this Psalm into your book, and you provided it for us. And we pray right now, together we pray, for all who, like Heman, are crushed in spirit, who are crying out to you, whose hopes have been broken. And we lift them up to you with the confidence and hope of the gospel, that Jesus has won the ultimate victory over sin and death and the evil one, and that nothing, nothing can separate us from your love. And we pray it all in the strong name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen.